You're listening to a sermon from New Harvest Church in Salem, Oregon. We believe that you were created for connection to Christ and a community of his followers. This sermon is an extension of our desire to become more like Christ by engaging God's word within our weekly gatherings. If you are in the area, we'd love for you to join us on a Sunday. You can learn more about New Harvest and our ministries at newharvestch.org.
Hello, everyone. So good to sense the buzz in the auditorium and at the same time have a sense of connection to you in your living rooms and throughout the city, even expanding into other parts of our country. So glad that we have so many online people connecting with New Harvest. Good morning to you. Good morning to you. Thank you. That's great. So glad that we can have this greeting and connection right here. It's fun to be able to look out and look at people and see the sense of being together on our journey in Christ. And we want the warmth of God's presence, his spirit, to be with you in each and every home as we begin this morning worshiping God and having a chance to look at his word. And we're in such an important section of God's word, and I know that we're all enjoying that. So our connection cards, for those in the room, we're going to collect connection cards. We'll do it with the clear basket as you leave. If you have a prayer request or some way of sharing that we can respond to, that would be fantastic. And thank you, Karen. Karen gave such a great report that there are things happening for children. And we have a bunch of children that call New Harvest their home. And their journey is so important to us, doing the best we can to help kids experience Christ and to support families in this time when family is the real focal point entirely on that spiritual journey. Now we're assisting as we always wanted to be, but we're doing the best we can virtually. There's also the step today that we did a bulletin. We have a bulletin. That's right. It's church now. Because, church and bulletins, they're like hand in hand. Anyway, there's a sermon outline on the back, and you're saying, I didn't get a bulletin. I'm at home. Well, you could go online. It'll be on our sermon link. Go all the way down the web page to the bottom. Click on sermon link, and the outline will be there for you after today. All right? You know where we would have been right now? We would have been kind of enjoying like a pretty cool morning with the partly sunny clouds, and we would say, yes, perfect. We're at the Marion County Fair. It was supposed to be. I was telling some people, oh, I'm so disappointed. I don't get to go to the Marion County Fair this year. And they go, who cares? I care, because it was always such a great connection. Our largest gathering of the year at the Marion County Fair, even bigger than Easter. And we're missing it just like we've missed a lot of things like that. Well, I'm glad that we can be together today and we can be on a journey. That's the title, On a Journey. And our subject, as we're in Psalm 23, a walk through the valley. And that makes total sense. And we began last week with the first 8 words of Psalm 23. Just 8 words. And we camped there, and it was good that we did, because we are on a journey, and we're not alone. We're not alone. And David made it very clear that our God is like a shepherd. And we know the characteristics of a shepherd, and we're like sheep, and we can understand that. So David exemplified that we're not alone. We're so glad to be connected to God through his son, Jesus Christ, and he shepherds us through life. And so don't miss that. That's going to be a part of David's song all the way through, from top to bottom. Shepherd, God, Yahweh, is our shepherd. That's what we learned last week, and that has to stick with us. Well, last week I read through Psalm 23 in the New International Version, which is the Bible that I usually read, and that's what we use on Sunday mornings. But on Friday, I celebrated a birthday, not a physical birthday, a spiritual birthday. I have been walking with Christ, or he's been carrying me along, for 44 years, And when I first met the Lord, I was in the New American Standard Bible for a few years in the beginning. And I wanted to read Psalm 23 from the New American Standard Bible. And you know the psalm so well, I'm not putting it on the screen. I just want you to kind of take in the moment. You know, many people will use Psalm 23 as a real focal point to begin their day. Well, let's do it that way. Psalm 23, New American Standard Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23, that's our focus this month of July. And these six verses are going to turn into four messages the second today. And so, as I look at this psalm and I think about this psalm, I want you to know the psalm from David is kind of a traveling psalm. That's the idea. He's on the move. And so on a journey, here we have some words that are connected to being on a journey. We have makes, lie down, leads, and guides. Those are all about the journey or for the journey. All those words kind of fit for what we're talking about. So, you have a journey, I have a journey. What does it look like? What do we have? What are our needs? What's the focus? Do you have a sense of purpose and mission on your journey? I hope so. David did. We get to hear what he had to say about his journey and then apply it to our lives. To get you thinking about the theme today and the part that I want to bring out, I have another rendition of Psalm 23. And this one is so unique that I thought we should put it on the screen. So let's look at this rendition with the beginning words this. The Lord is my pace setter, I shall not rush. See, you, and it's right there. You get let's keep going. Here it is. He makes me stop and rest at intervals. He provides me with images of stillness to restore my serenity. He leads me in the way of efficiency to calmness of mind, and his guidance is peace. Even though I have a great many things to accomplish this day, I will not fret, for his presence is here. His timeliness, his all importance will keep me in balance. He prepares refreshment and renewal in the midst of my activity, anointing my head with oils of tranquility. My cup of joyous energy overflows. Surely, harmony and effectiveness shall be the fruits of my hours. For I shall walk in the pace of my Lord and dwell in his heaven forever. How about that? That sounds a little different, but I really picked it on purpose. It really fits the theme, the next theme that David emphasizes. And so did you get the theme? I wonder if you caught it. It is pretty clear. But if you didn't get the theme, I wanted to do some fill in the blanks. And I want audience participation. You know, I can still hear you behind those masks. So here we go. You ready? I'm going to come to the end of the sentence. I'm going to fill it in. A solar powered watch runs on the sun. On the sun. All right. But I appreciate your enthusiasm, though. There it was. An automobile runs on? Yes. Can you hear them out there? They're a good audience. An Energizer bunny runs on? Batteries. That's right. Exactly. A sailboat runs on the wind. Right. A light runs on electricity. That's a little harder one. I threw that one on purpose. What light? What do you do? Anyway, let's do the reverse. Let's kind of flip the coin here. Here we go. Try this. If I am dehydrated, I'm low on water. H2O. Come on. No, water, right. A flat tire is low on air. Yes. If we are in a famine, if you are in a famine, you are low on food. Right. If your wallet is empty, you're low on money, plastic money. Anyway, if you faint, this is a harder one, you're low on blood flow to the brain. And somebody says, well, that means oxygen. No, blood flow to the brain. I looked it up. That's, if you're low on that, you have the chance of, here's the point. Every journey needs fuel. Every journey needs fuel. I don't care if you're walking short distance or long distance. Obviously, if you're walking further, you may even need fuel more so. But as you're walking, even walking, you have the need for water and food, or you will eventually faint. That's the idea. So in your spiritual journey, you have a sense of purpose and direction as a child of God, but you will also need nourishment or fuel to energize your journey. And David seemed to know this about his life. And he attributes what God can do to the re-energizing of his life, as we'll see. Now, if the terrain is more difficult and the weight that you carry is heavier, that means refueling is even more crucial. If someone is out and expending themselves, walking briskly and so on, they will need it more readily than the person that's on a stroll. If they are carrying a backpack, a heavy backpack, then the need for fuel is even more important. We, right now, are carrying a backpack in this journey of life. We are going through difficult terrain, some paths we've never gone on before, ever. And we need refueling as much as we ever have. But I sense that we're ignoring it, that crucial need of being refreshed, as David emphasized. So here we go. The words that he uses, I'm going to go back to the NIV and just throw them on the screen for you. They're very similar to the New American Standard, but let's just do it this way. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. There it is. Three lines that kind of build on each other. Three lines that I will summarize with three words. You ready? Number one, let it in. People that know me know that I use that phrase quite often, let it in, or take it in. Take what in? Well, he kind of explains it. Summarized like this. Lie down, drink in, be filled. That's what I would kind of, in my own words, I would take those three lines. Lie down, drink in, be filled. I hope you see that like I see that. You see, if we continuously expend energy on the journey, we cannot expect to keep going unless we are refueled. That's the message. David, I would suggest, was on a journey, and he realized that he had to be refueled. So where do we get this refreshment? Well, the way the verse starts in verse 2 is very interesting. He makes, that's the word, and makes associates with this idea of a source or the author or the creator. In this way, I want you to see that the shepherd makes it happen. That's the message. Where he's going to find refueling is found in what the shepherd offers. And so he says green pastures. Well, the shepherd, in this case, creates green pastures. Some have suggested that shepherds will go out and they will irrigate a certain section for their sheep to have nourishment. That's the way. Because it was very barren in Israel and Palestine. And so they would go and they would water and they would have the green pastures. In the sense of to lie down, the shepherd invites them to rest. And not just to rest in the green pastures, but to be nourished in them. You see, when the shepherd is in charge, guess what he does? He makes us stop and rest. That's an interesting concept, isn't it? Have you ever felt that in your life? Like, oh, I've gotten sick and I can't do what I would want to do. And so I have to stay home and rest. It's like it's built into how we're made as human beings almost. Could it be? Could it be as an aspect of what we're going through that the Lord put kind of like the stop on here? It said, the people are going crazy. My people who call by my name are going crazy. They are in incessantly active, incessantly moving, incessantly preoccupying themselves. Boom, stop. Could it be? Interesting thought, I'm sure. I bet you've thought of it already. The idea that we really need to rest. Do you think there's purpose in what God is doing? I do, or I wouldn't mention it. It was a time when Trevor was 7 and Tyler was 17. And we had to do everything to coax Trevor to go to bed. And we had to bribe him, you know, to go to bed. And he'd finally go to bed. But with Tyler, we had to make so much noise in the morning for him to get up. See, it was kind of like, you know what I'm saying, right? And Tyler goes, oh, that didn't happen. Yes, it did. All right. And so, did you know that sheep do not like to rest? Did you know that? Sheep do not like to rest. And you know what the main reason is that they don't like to rest? Because they're afraid. The sheep are prone to fear. And so sleep and rest and anxiety, they don't go together, right? Did you know that sheep only sleep 15% of the day? And we think about compared to us, so little. But lots of animals sleep much more than that. And so here's sheep. And it's as I read about it, they're fearful animals. They have difficulty rest. And there's almost the slightest thing can startle them, and they can go into panic. Like a jackrabbit comes across their path as a group and everything. You know what happens? It sends them into a stampede sometimes. And then the sheep are kind of running out of fear, but they don't even know what they're running from. Just out of fright. And so I was thinking about this idea. And follow me on this. Try this out. Watch this. It affects 70 million Americans, and it's faulted for 38,000 deaths each year. The condition annually costs the U.S. $70 billion worth of productivity. Teenagers suffer from it. Studies show that 64% of teens blame it for poor school performance. Middle-agers face it. Researchers say that the most severe cases occur between ages 30 and 40. Senior citizens are afflicted by it. One study suggests that the condition impacts 50% of those over 65, the over 65 population. Treatments involve everything from mouth guards to herbal teas to medication. And you might say, well, I know what that answer is. And you probably guess, chemical abuse, right? No, no. Divorce, long sermons. No, it's not those. You know what it is, insomnia. Insomnia. Americans can't rest. We are constantly stimulated, artificially stimulated by like caffeine or energy drinks or sugar or loud music, whatever. And we wind down with things like shopping or watching TV or scrolling Facebook or any activity to create a sense of diversion, but not necessarily restoration. Did you get that? We're prone to diversion, but not restoration. And what we need is restoration. And so, first of all, the shepherd, he makes us lie down, and we need rest. And the next thing, right next to it, the very next line, he leads us beside quiet waters, still waters. And what is that for? It sounds similar to lie down, still, or rest. Waters of rest, it says in the literal Hebrew. But really, it is this idea of taking a drink. The sheep need a drink. And did you know that sheep won't drink from fast-moving water? No. If water is bubbling along and they are afraid of it. Yes, just like I said, they're fearful animals. And so it has to be still waters. But the idea, the message here is to drink. And that sense of stillness got my attention, that quiet. And where will I drink best? Spiritually, where will I drink best? When it's still. And how much of my life is still, quiet? So I was thinking about this series we did in June, and I keep on coming back to it, this prayer series, P-R-A-Y. And the first launch into pray is pause. And that was a new thought for me. I jump into prayer pretty quickly. I get done reading my Bible, and I say, okay, here we go, God. And I learned and was challenged to pause, center, and just be quiet. And this is so essential. I think of being still, or the idea of quiet, or listen, the gentle whisper, the voice of the shepherd. And there's a time when Jesus addressed this important topic of the voice of the shepherd. He did it in John 10. And in John 10, he tells us about the voice of the shepherd. And I'm drawn to this. Look at what it says on the screen here. In verse 3 and 4 of John 10, he, the shepherd, that's what he started, he calls his own sheep by name, which I love that. That sense of connection and identity. I think of that, Jesus knows my name, my shepherd. And he leads them out, and I thought of leads them by quiet waters. Similar kind of thinking there, similar phrase. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. There it is. And I remember that. I kind of recall that. And so what does it mean to hear the voice of the shepherd? Does that sound kind of like way out there? Or is there a way, an understanding about this that really could benefit you and me, that we could hear the voice of the shepherd? Well, I like what A.W. Tozer said about what it takes to hear the voice of the shepherd. And I resonate with this, and so I want you to see it. It's on the screen here. The small quote, stay in that quiet place. Pause. Stay in that quiet place till the surrounding noises begin to fade out of your heart. Wow. That is such a crucial statement. How often do I get there? Till the surrounding noises begin to fade out of your heart. Till a sense of God's presence has covered you. Listen for his inward voice till you learn to recognize it. That's the statement. This doesn't happen quickly. So here I'm drawn to this, the inward voice of the shepherd. And when I sense the Lord speaking to me as I'm in his word or in my heart speaking to me, there's nothing that uplifts me more than that, really. No one else can talk to me, and it can be as uplifting as when I sense the whisper of God. And you're saying, well, that's kind of a foreign subject to me. Well, go back to what I just read. Quiet yourself. Your sole purpose is to be in the presence of God. And your soul presence to be in the presence of God gives the Lord kind of like, oh, I want to help. I want to direct. I want to fill. That's the kind of God we have. So these things are so crucial, and they're so restorative. This green pastures, these quiet waters. And what does it lead to? Well, I like this word best. He restores my soul. Restores my soul. Refreshing. The NIV says he refreshes, refreshment. But when it comes to restore, it's like something has been kind of leaking. Some kind of thing has diminished in my life. That maybe there's been some depletion. I have depletion. You have depletion. Yes. And so restores is that it kind of brings back. There's this reviving in my soul. And I remember this word being used by David when he was confessing his sin with Bathsheba. And in Psalm 51, verse 12, this isn't on the screen, but the simple statement, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore. Why did he ask that prayer? Please restore me, God. Again, bring it back. Because he had been given to sin. He had sinned. And he was depleted, obviously. I sense worn down, and he had drifted in his focus to be in a position of such compromise to have adultery, the sin of adultery. And he wanted to be restored. And so this, the crucial message of being restored means to be re-energized, to be renewed, and to be filled. And I want that. And really, when we took our topic of pray in June, my whole heart about that was, if the people of New Harvest would, with personal connection to God, renew their prayer life, that kind of renewing connection, that re-energizing connection with God could take place. That was my, honestly, in the bottom of my heart, that's what I really wanted, connection and prayer. But you know, the thing that I really enjoyed doing a few weeks ago is blowing up a balloon. A balloon is really the perfect way, a good illustration, perfect is not the right word, a good illustration of my soul. And really, when I am being refreshed and I'm resting in the Lord and so on, he fills my soul. I'm re-energized. And more and more, he fills. And I got to do one more. Because ever since I've been a kid, one thing that I liked was to let go of the balloon. That is so fun. Anyway, that's what happens next. Number two, let it out. Let it out. With the filling of God and closeness with him and listening to his voice, filling my soul, I want to let it out. And that's the next line. And let it out. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. That's it. This is really, we're going out now. It has that idea. And this phrase, right paths, is a good translation. I know we often have heard the word paths of righteousness. The thing that this isn't saying is if you get on the path, you'll become more righteous. It's not saying that. It's saying that on the path, you need the right path. If you're on the wrong path, it's not going to work. You're going to go in the wrong direction. And sheep were notorious for going in the wrong direction. We have to go in the right direction, the one that is life-giving. Not the crooked path, but the straight path. The right way. That's the idea. The right way. And so I appreciate how the NIV has translated it. Most modern translations have put it that way. That he leads us in the right path, the right way. And that's what the shepherd does. And that's what you need. And to kind of like reiterate this, the same author, David, just like probably on the same page of your Bible, in chapter 25, verse 4, it says this, and this is what it's really, this is David's prayer. Show me your ways, Lord, Yahweh. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth. That's it. That's what we're talking about here on the right paths. And so I want his guidance. I need his guidance. I want to venture out, right? I'm blessed by God. I want to venture out. I want to be used by God. But guess what? I could easily follow my own path, and I don't want to do that. And you don't want to either. The shepherd guides us on the right path. You know what else? Sheep have poor vision. If you really think about it, in the Bible, and them calling a sheep, it's a tough go. Anyway, this sheep, poor vision. And so they can't see very far. And you have the phrase, he's as blind as a bat. Well, you could say, he's as blind as a sheep. It would be apropos. It's the same thing. They can go down a path, and they won't even know if they're headed toward a cliff. They'll go right over the cliff and go, woo, and that'll be it. Or they can walk right into a fire, believe it or not. Or they don't know when a predator is near. They can't see very far. They're very vulnerable, sheep that is. And you're saying, me too. Exactly. You see, we can't see very far, spiritually. And if there's ever a time in history where we're sensing that we can't see very far, it's right now. We don't know what's going to happen down the road. In fact, things are changing as they have since March almost every day. So we don't know. But guess what? Guess what? That hasn't changed. We don't know very far at all anyway, no matter what. We think we do, but we really don't. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't even know what's going to happen this afternoon. You might have some plans, but the plans may not go exactly the way you thought. You see, this idea of being guided is so important. And it's not only the right path, but his path. And even as the song, the song said, as that, I think that song about Psalm 23 is fantastic. And it just resonates with my heart so much in the, as I've been studying Psalm 23. Well, in that psalm, I talked about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you know, the Bible in the New Testament says the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. He guides us along the way so that we know the way to go. Well, when we're filled up, guess how we're filled up? With this Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills us. And as the Holy Spirit fills us, then he guides us along the way. In fact, he gives us strength and confidence to represent Jesus in this world. Just like in Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8 says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. That's what we're talking about. On the right path, guess, now listen to this, for his name's sake. That's a very important phrase. It's almost kind of like we say it, and it just goes away. For his name's sake. Oh, yeah, for his name's sake. No, we're talking about for his name's sake. We go out on these paths, the right ones that the shepherd is guiding us, representing Jesus for his name's sake, representing the Lord God. And our lives are a reflection of him, or they're supposed to be. You see, this is about, in my thinking, the purpose of life, the ultimate goal, for his name's sake. I live for his name's sake. And I forget that sometimes. But the bottom line is that's true. That's what I want. That's really what it's all about, that I would bring glory to God. That's the goal, that my life would glorify the Lord. In fact, Westminster's Catechism put it this way. Maybe you remember hearing this. The chief end of man, mankind, people, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Why? For his name's sake. That's what we're talking about. It's so crucial. And so, the idea of representing him is accompanied by God representing his own name. We're in a covenant, as followers of Jesus Christ, by faith in Jesus, we're in a covenant relationship with God. And he is loyal and faithful, and he's true to his name. His reputation is flawless. And so, we, in relationship with God, receive from him, and then we represent him. It's this flow that I've been talking about. It's right there. To wholeheartedly serve him is motivated by the goodness that he so freely gives us. And he loves us extravagantly. Let it in and let it out. That's a journey that you can go on, that I want to be on, that the shepherd would fill me with rest and his voice and the truth, and then I would go out in witness and service and mission for him. What an exciting life. And I know that that's what David felt, and I want you to also. That's life in my thinking in a nutshell. And so we're going to make some transitions here. And the worship team's going to come and get in position. And we're going to have a response time. It's so great that we take the time to respond. And so I was thinking about how often I am depleted in life. Time and again, I'm depleted in life. And when I'm depleted, guess what? I care about what other people think about me when I'm depleted. And I want recognition. And so I become more self-centered when I'm depleted. Are you like that? I'm like that. That, wow, it's all about me. But when I'm filled, when there's a sense of being filled and restored, there's a joy that returns. And I freely serve. I don't think about Who's getting credit? I just serve. Because I'm filled. It just kind of spills out. And I'm sure you're the same. You see, I am a funnel. I'm a funnel. You are a funnel. This is it. I'm talking about the bottom line dynamics of life as a follower of Jesus Christ. He freely fills me, forgives me, re-energizes me through his Spirit. And I live out following his path, representing his name in this world. Now, I just love that Tyler chose two songs that are really just in step with what I've shared. And guess what? I'm not kidding. We didn't talk through that. Sometimes we do, but we didn't talk through it this time. But this, Lord, I need you. We begin with this song, Lord, I need you. And that is, fill me, God. I can't fill myself. I need you. Make it happen in my life, Lord. I open myself to you. I need you, Lord. And then the second song is, I shout it out. I live it out in a world of broken people wandering about. I go out and tell them that there's a God that loves, a God that's holy, a God that has life to give. I need you, Lord, and I give it out. And I invite you to the table. The table is a personal table today. As a follower of Jesus Christ, I invite you to come to the table, take a cup. It has two cups, one with a wafer on the bottom and then the juice representing the body and blood of Christ. You can go back to your chair, have a little time of reflection. You can sit down, stand, whatever you'd like, and listening to the songs, singing the songs, and take it in a moment that fits for you. Thinking of it as being nourished, taking it, empowered to live it out. Amen? Please stand.